This week's Four Questions Journalist Spotlight is brought to you by Left's Atlanta Media, Atlanta's best journalist database. Subscribe at leftsatlantamedia.com.
Welcome to another edition of our Four Questions Journalist Spotlight. We've got a twofer today, Melissa Carter and Jen Hobby. So you know, you'll have to kind of watch it and as we go back and forth here with these two ladies, because they're both fun to listen to, and I know we'll have a fun conversation about what's going on. We're going to talk about a new podcast that you guys have been doing called The Frenzy, that I happened to run across on Facebook a couple months ago. But before I do that, let's kind of just lay the foundation. Melissa, I'll let you go first.
Okay.
Just give you a little background about, give folks a little background, you know, where'd you come from, where have you worked here in Atlanta, and where you're working now, and what you're doing now.
Sure. So I'm originally from a town called Columbia, Tennessee, out of Nashville, and I moved to Atlanta straight out of college, and I got a job at Turner Broadcasting back when Ted was running the show. And I started as a telemarketer, and then I moved my way up to secretary. And then that's as far as I got, was a secretary. And then I went into radio, but I enjoyed my time at Turner. Then I was able to meet Jimmy Barron, who I forgot how we randomly met, but I was able to work with him and his team, Barnes Leslie and Jimmy at 99X. And I started as a news writer there and then became a part of the show. And from that, I was able to move on to the Burt Show on Q100, where I met the lovely Jen Hobby. And then after that, I hosted a show on B98.5, and then my son was born. And God bless Jen for being a mom and morning show, but I couldn't do it. And so I left, and now I do consulting work with financial advisors, and I help them do their own radio show. Sometimes I'm on the show, and sometimes I'm not. And then I'm also doing the podcast with Jen. So that's kind of a rapid, you know, kind of, you know, blazing through my career. But I've done some writing on the side too. So I write a column for the Georgia Voice as well. And I've written for Huffington Post on the side.
Okay. Jen, how about you?
That was so good. I was just like reveling in Melissa's story. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm Jimmy Barron. And so I am originally from Florida. I grew up for the most part in St. Petersburg, and went to college at Florida State University, where I fell in love with radio there. Moved to Atlanta, and my very first job was at Lakewood Amphitheater. I was the assistant to the director of corporate sales. So that meant that at all the big concerts, I took care of the fancy people who spent a lot of money. So, and through that, I met so many people in Atlanta, some friends that I am still close with to this day. So I'm so grateful for that very first job at Lakewood. And it introduced me to a lot of people in radio, which is ultimately what I wanted to do. So from there, I started working at 95.5 The Beat. I don't know if you remember, but it doesn't exist anymore. Yes, RIP to 95.5 The Beat. But it was really fun. A rhythmic top 40 station that launched here in Atlanta, and was a blast for my start in radio. And then I left The Beat to go to Q100. And served there for 10 years. I did my time. No, I'm kidding. Great memories there.
Good, like good behavior to let you go, that kind of thing.
That's right.
Yeah. it was a fantastic experience there. And of course, got to meet Melissa Carter and become close friends with her. I really felt like that group on the air for our 10 years there with the Burt Show, with Burt and Jeff and Melissa and I, was like siblings. And it was a blast. Fantastic memories. From there, I left mornings because I was having my first child. So children is a theme here. And left to do middays at Kix 101.5. So I had a little dip my toe into the world of country, which was fabulous. Country artists are so good to radio. It was a different ballgame than Top 40. So that was really fun, but then had the opportunity to go and do mornings again at Star 94, where I have been for the last 6 years. So I am still on the air at Star, and also now doing the podcast with Melissa Carter, The Frenzy, which has been so fun to, we've always remained close friends, but to be in regular contact with Melissa again through the podcast has been a blast. And we celebrate friendships over 40. We honor women who are in this stage of life. We talk about the things that we are going through, and we unabashedly honor women over 40.
That's right. Age is a good thing.
That's great. I will say I'm shocked that I was never met you at Lakewood, but I guess I wasn't one of those people who were spending lots of money. So that explains that, right? Fancy people with lots of money. Okay, that explains why I was off, not on the list.
My ticket's yes. from the lawn, yes.
It was my job to make sure that their suites were nice and cleaned, that they didn't have any drunk people falling into their box, that they, you know, that they were taken care of because they were the big sponsor people spending a lot of money to make that place run.
Absolutely.
Mitch, okay. We were the drunk people that she was trying to keep from falling into their box.
Yeah. Man hailed by security. You sit back there. Yeah.
It was cool. One of the coolest moments from that job was playing basketball with Busta Rhymes backstage.
Nice.
Okay. I got to see a lot of cool artists come through. Like, I got to see Sheryl Crow come through that summer with Lilith Fair, and she was so short and tiny, I couldn't believe it. But that was the coolest moment, was Busta Rhymes, you know, shooting over a basketball and inviting me to come take a shot with him as they were getting ready for their show backstage.
It's funny, when I was in college, I did a little stint as kind of a – we did concerts on campus at Emory, and we had the Bengals in 1983 maybe, when we booked them, and they were like, they had one single out, and by the time they got to campus, they were like, boom. Yeah. And I remember meeting the lead singer. I can't remember her name off the top of my head.
Shifty Eyes. What's her name? Yeah. Oh gosh.
But she, anyway, she got off the bus and she was shorter than I am, which is short. Right. And I looked, I was like, wow, you're, and I didn't say it, but I'm thinking, wow, she's a lot taller in the music videos. But that's a lot of fun.
Of celebrities are, that's one thing that people don't realize. A lot of celebrities, especially movie stars, are little people. I call Hollywood the land of the little people, because if you ever go and you're on set somewhere, because we've had the privilege of being on set for shows, it's like I'm 5'7" and I'm massive compared to a lot of the actors that are there. So they must look better on camera or something.
So I would fit in perfectly in Hollywood, you're saying?
Exactly.
Yeah,
yes.
There we go.
It's your space.
Just
okay,
give me a stool.
Up the Bengals are Susanna Hoffs.
That's it. Susanna Hoffs.
That was her. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
There you go.
That's her. Yeah.
That's it.
That's awesome. That was going to drive me crazy.
It was an awesome concert. All my Emory friends will remember that, if they remember that. All right, so the Frenzy Podcast. So where do we find the Frenzy Podcast?
Anywhere you listen to podcasts. Most of our listeners are on Apple Podcasts, but we're on every platform out there, both national and international.
Okay, so and I think I watched it on Facebook. So you guys are streaming it live on Facebook as you're doing, is that correct?
No.
Or you're taping it?
Go ahead, Jen.
Yeah, so when you caught us on Facebook, that was Melissa and I just talking about the podcast.
Okay.
And promoting the fact that the podcast exists. But each and every week we have a new episode that will come into your feed on Mondays. And so if you're a podcast listener, then if you subscribe, then it just pops up weekly. So when we're on Facebook, it's usually us talking about something that happened on the podcast or promoting or just inviting more people to find out about it.
Yeah.
I struggle with like when to promote it, right? So I was doing it like Wednesdays, and then I thought, well, maybe I'll try Fridays, and so now I'm just doing Sunday nights because that's when I have time to produce them, right? So I push them out Sunday nights, and then I promote it during the week a couple of times, that kind of thing.
Right.
So,
yeah. It's the beauty of podcasting is, I think, as long as you're consistent, then, you know, and I think for a lot of people who are out there who want to do a podcast, the key is to be consistent with it. You know, when you release it during the week or, you know, that's the beauty of podcasting is it can be based on your schedule. But as long as you do one consistently, whatever that schedule is for us, it's every week.
Right.
For some people, it may be every 2 weeks or every month, but at least keep it going, because that's where you'll find success.
Yeah, we've been doing pretty good with weekly. Some weeks get a little crazy. I've had one or two times where I've called journalist friends of mine on a Friday afternoon and said, "Can you do a podcast for me now?" I need one. I need somebody for Sunday. Not that you're a last minute or you're like a second, but can you do one now?
Right. Well, and Jen and I have talked about how we're mothers. We're mothers of young children, and so our agreement when we started this, and we'll talk about that, is. You know, the fact that we're flexible and we have grace with each other. So it's like, well, this is something we want to do, but we are mothers as well as professionals, and we make sure that's just as important, if not more important.
Well, and there's certainly, moms and women have been challenges in general, being a working mom, but the pandemic has certainly made it even more challenging because even, you know, even if a mom is working from home, the burden of caregiving still falls more on the women than the husband, even if both of them are working from home. And I've seen some studies about how the pandemic has slowed women's progress in certain areas over the last year and a half. But there was one I saw from the Gizueta School at Emory about, you know, there's less research coming out of female academics over the last year because of the pandemic, because they don't have time for it. You know, those kinds of issues.
Mm-hmm. So many women have either lost their job or had to leave their jobs. I mean, there's even a name for it. They're calling it a she session because so many women have been disrupted in their careers. And it certainly doesn't bode well for us as far as equal pay goes either, right? If you're taking a step back because you have to care for children or elderly family members or the rest of your family, then it's going to be even harder to demand that equity when it comes to the paycheck. So I think that we will see the effects of this pandemic on women for a very long time. And I think that that the way to get back is to think about how do we reframe responsibilities for childcare? How do we reframe families and careers? You know, this world, including the school system and the work system, is not set up for doing both. Our whole society is still set up for a very traditional lifestyle where one parent would stay home full time and be able to manage children and the other parent work full time. But that's just not the reality of our culture anymore. A lot of families have two working parents and children, and we've got to reframe work and family and school schedules so that it can all be together, because right now it isn't working.
And it's the responsibility of both men and women. So, you know, I'm hoping that, you know, I was one that had to work from home, and then I was one that was laid off. And I was also one, because of my kidney transplant, that had to teach my son at home with remote learning. So I had all that, and I'm a single mom. And so one of the things that I wish that the pandemic would teach these families is who were in that same situation with remote learning at times and both parents being at home is, you know, if you fell into traditional roles during that time, that's on you. I mean, those traditional roles are choices. Those aren't like God decreed that you have to do this.
Right. Absolutely.
And so I think that men have to make the decision to step up when it comes to domestic responsibilities, and women need to step up in allowing the men to step up to do those domestic responsibilities and then take charge of some of the professional responsibilities.
Does the kind of the newer technologies where we can work remotely, where we can flex schedules, where we can Zoom, do you think that's going to help? Because I feel like, you know, people can flex schedules sometimes too. I mean, I work with working moms all the time, and I know that they have the ability to, you know, if they've got a kid who's in school from 8 to 2, you know, push some work later, figure out, you know, be done by 3, or they can pick up the, you know, so, and I'm cognizant of, you know, kind of working my assignments for my folks who have those kind of schedules. So, okay, let's. I'm not going to schedule a call at 4:30 because I know they've got to pick their kid up or the kid's back from school. Right. So I've got that kind of in my head that's certainly a factor.
Absolutely. Could you share that with all the men on the planet?
Yes.
To Carline, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So, you know, I do think that, you know, it will take a collective effort of everybody stepping up and saying what they need. And I think it's going to take all of us to talk to the managers of companies too, to have this flexible time and to be able to adjust and be more progressive to accommodate families, because, you know, we should give the blessing to men to care for their children as much as we give that blessing to women to have that flexibility. You know, guys taking, I know there's a gentleman in my office that took paternity leave, and, you know, there were some eyebrows raised, and I'm like, no, this is good. We need to support this. We need to foster this participation, and because we're all raising children.
You guys know our Josh Leves, who used to be over at CNN. He wrote those kinds of paternity issues when he was at CNN, and ended up, I think he sued the company, but he wrote a book about it, about those kinds of issues. And I think he speaks on it a lot. Josh Leves, but great, great, great guy.
Yeah. Because we, you know, there are men out there who want to do what women are able to do and are afraid to say anything because their culture does not encourage men to be, you know, these fathers at home or work at home dad. And there's some guys that fantasize about being able to do that, and they should have the ability to do that. But the other thing, like what was Jen saying, is everybody's decision. But what I'm encouraged by the pandemic is that you have brought a younger generation of people kind of born into this pandemic fire who will be more apt to demand the things they need. Now, we've heard, you know, people have complained about millennials for a long time. Millennials, by the way, are, you know, the upper end, are in their 40s now. So millennials are not these children. You know, millennials are grown people. But I think that this conversation we've had about millennials, which has been very derogatory, I think, you know, the younger generations have heard this. So the millennials, I think, kind of trying to kick down the door of, look, you know, we don't want to be this harsh 9-to-5, a job is the only thing we have. And the next generation is going to benefit from that. Plus the pandemic, I think that our children will be able to ask for what they need. And people need to understand that this 8-to-5 work environment came from Henry Ford. This started with the production of the car. That he invented 8-to-5 workplace. So it came from somewhere. And the fact that we have held on to it and held on to it and held on to it, and we're still white knuckling it, is fascinating to me, because everything has a beginning and it can have an end too. And so we just really need to create new possibilities for ourselves.
Yeah. I don't know. I've been working for myself for about 20 years now, and I love the flexibility that I have. Mm-hmm. You know, I guess I can go camping with my scouts, or I can take an afternoon off, and I, you know, I'll talk to other guy friends, and like, oh, I can't do that trip because I got to work. And I'm like, you know, I feel bad for him, you know, it's like, because you should be, you know, if you're an adult, you should have the ability to say, I'm going to get this work done, but I want to do this scout trip with my son. I want to go camping. I want to do this, whatever.
And I think you're a better employee for that. I am of the belief that if you have an employee that you give structure to, this is what's expected of you in this company. But, you know, to me, it should be, okay, these are your goals. Now you can define how you achieve them, you know, because I believe that companies, you shouldn't have to micromanage the people that you hire. And so if that person needs flex hours and they're going to get those goals done, then great. It's a win-win situation. I'm a happy boss and you're a happy employee, and you're more apt to stay in my company because you're happy and fulfilled. And so, and somehow that being this radical idea is what is confusing for me.
Yeah. It's funny. I saw some meme on Facebook recently where it was saying, you know, I think the idea was, you know, somebody called somebody in Europe and they said, oh, I'm on vacation for 2 months. I'll check my emails and voicemails when I get back in 2 months. And then the one under that was someone from the United States saying, I just had kidney surgery, but you can call me in 2 hours.
That's right. That's right. Exactly right. Oh. And one last thing on this, I have been in, I've worked for several corporations. And radio has been a predominantly male environment, and I've loved the men that I've worked with for the most part. But one thing I have found, and I'll be starkly honest about this, is that there has been a lot of time wasting in those offices. Like, I have thought many times, especially after I had children and had to work in these environments, and I was like, I could spend this time with my child, but right now we're having to do this. It was not efficient. It was almost, there were time wasters just to get you to 5 o'clock. Like, if you really analyze an 8-to-5 workplace that so many people assume is more productive, you'll find a lot of just hot air. You'll find meetings that last 2 hours that could have lasted for 45 minutes. That could have been an email. I mean, there's a reason for that joke, right? And there's a lot of guys who are avoiding going home and taking on the responsibilities of home as well. I've noticed that there are some guys that are trying to avoid being the husband and father at work. And so I just think that, you know, we're assuming that that is the best environment for us to be in. And it may be for some, but it's not for all.
I had a coworker when I worked at Turner who would come into my office in the morning and sit and complain about something or other for 20 minutes. And I'd be like, I'm trying to work here. Mm-hmm. And she'd leave my office and I could hear her go on to the next office. I'm like, she's probably spent 2 hours not doing any work at all. I mean, I had one agency where I worked for where my boss came in one day and says, you know, you should go out and, you know, have lunch with, you know, have spend lunch with the other folks sometimes. I says, I do, but I have a lot of work to do and I'd rather be out of here at 5:30 and not 8:30 like some of the other folks do. Anyway.
Well, because they didn't want to go home. That's the thing.
But, well, sometimes they were younger and they were single and there was nothing to go home to. There was no spouse or kids or anything else. So work was what they did. So, mm-hmm. you know, they would go home or go to the gym and then that was it. So hanging out with their friends at work was the fun thing. And I would watch these people kind of waste time during the day and then at 6:30 or 7 o'clock, they'd kind of start working. I'm like, nah, that's not me. That's not me. All right. So Jen, I'm going to start with you. We'll start with a really hard question. What is something fun or cool about Jen that people might not know?
Fun or cool about Jen? Okay. My go-to is that I grew up kayaking and I have kayaked the Ocoee River, which it has like class 5 rapids. You didn't know that?
I don't think I knew this.
Have you gone over the dam?
Yes, the very end one. Yes.
Yeah. Cuz I've rafted the middle of Kelly and I see people on kayaks come over the dam where they tell you don't do that. But I see that a lot.
I remember there was a rapid called Hell Hole. that I have done in a kayak. Yeah. And then there's the big one at the end where they held the Olympics in 96. And so, so that's something that people don't know about me.
All right. Melissa.
I'm a kayaker.
Well, something that Jen doesn't know that I'll share is I'm a geek. I mean, everybody knew I was a geek, but I actually, during the pandemic, I finished 4 scripts for comic books. So I wrote 4 comic books over the pandemic and am working with a Atlanta award-winning illustrator to see how we might get those done. So
wait.
He's got a copy already? No, I'm just kidding. Oh, yes.
Oh, there's some comic books. There we go.
All right, Mitch, let me tell you something.
So I alternate my views here.
If we get this published and I send you a framed copy of the cover of my comic, will you hang it in your office?
Oh, absolutely.
Fantastic. Yeah. All right, that's the deal.
You can't see them all. I've got about 20 boxes of comics in the basement, but I went through and I was like, I got to pick out some things that have cool covers. So let's see. Okay, so we have some. We got a couple there and then over there. We've got a couple.
Oh, those are great.
We had a couple over there. So
nice. Kind of, you've been a fan kind of comics fun. Since you were a kid?
I started collecting probably when I was, I don't know, 9 or 10. And I read them until the early 90s somewhere. And if you're a comic fan,
well,
you'll 90s
know. Well, 90s were heyday for comics. I collected a bunch of them in the 90s.
I know. But see, what killed me was when they brought Norman Osborn back from the dead, mm-hmm. you know, the original Green Goblin.
Sorry, Jen.
You can't bring back the Green
Goblin. Take a coffee break. You all go ahead.
Yeah. Mitch and I have a whole new another show just on this topic.
It's like you can't bring back Gwen Stacy. Gwen Stacy's, you know, she's gone. I mean, it's like seminal moments in comic book history. And when they started messing with us, I was like, okay. Anyway, all right. So
that's it, Jen. You can come back now. But yeah, that is something that people probably had no idea I was interested in is I like to write, but I challenged myself over the pandemic to see if I could actually write a comic.
Are you publishing or are you kind of still
working
on
some? We don't know yet. We're trying to figure out whether we're going to do like a Kickstarter or we're actually going to try to find a publisher. So we're working on that now.
All right. Okay. So last book read or favorite podcast? Well, Jen, you can start.
Last book read that I loved. Oh, two of them. Okay. One is Becoming from Michelle Obama.
Okay.
Awesome peek inside her time at the White House. And the other, which is fiction, is from my friend Colleen Oakley, who's also an Atlantan and an incredible, you know, best-selling author. It's called The Invisible Husband of Frick Island.
Yeah, okay.
Ooh, I like that title.
All right. Melissa, favorite.
I know. I was trying
either one. You don't have to do both. You can pick one or the other.
It's books, but I was trying to find the author. So I don't have the authors.
That's okay.
In my mind. I'm terrible with names, but, two books that I just recently finished were American Dirt, and Lessons in Dancing.
Okay.
And one is about, the immigration story from Mexico to America, which is very gripping. I can say this, in all the years I've been reading American Dirt, the first chapter of American Dirt is the best first chapter of any book I've ever read.
Wow.
I was
okay.
Ripped.
All right.
So I can
go back, since I'm going to publish this on Sunday, I can go back and I can do a little text crawl at the bottom that says who the author is.
Sure. Okay. Thank you.
So people can find it.
Thank you. And then Lessons in Dancing is just a sweet, romantic story of two teenagers. It's a very cute tale and very well written.
Okay. All right. Favorite local restaurant. I know this is a hard one. So many great ones, right?
So many great ones. I'm going to go with a local one in Marietta that my husband and I love going to for date night, and it's called Two Birds Tap House.
Two Birds Tap. Okay. Melissa?
It's only because I recently went with a friend, Canoe and Vinings, just because the river right there. I mean,
yep.
It was a friend from out of town, and I was like, I'm going to take you to this picturesque. Of course, the day I took him, Hurricane Fred was coming through, a tropical storm, or Fred was coming through.
Yeah.
And so the river was rising. It was almost over the banks. And so even the restaurant employees were like, okay, well, we're going to just keep an eye on the river.
Move the bar back a little bit more.
Exactly. Yeah. But yeah, Canoe.
Yeah, we got married there. Beautiful place.
Oh, yay. Yep. Yeah.
Right on the river. Okay, so favorite guilty pleasure?
I would say having a really great glass of Cabernet Sauvignon in my fancy living room, because in our house we have one living room that like the kids destroy everything and all the furniture in, and then another living room where they're not really allowed to hang out. So it feels extra special to just relax and unwind in there with a really nice glass of wine.
Okay.
It kind of goes back to the nerdy thing, but I love to draw, and I do more of sketch comic-y drawing than I do traditional like painting or anything like that. And so any chance I get, during the pandemic, I had a sketchbook and I promised myself I would sketch every day. I actually gave Jen one of the sketches for Christmas. And then since my son was in kindergarten during remote learning, there was a lot of opportunity for me to do cartoons to help him learn things. So,
right.
Cartoons.
Cool. All right. Is there local getaway, somewhere you'd like to go to get away from it all? A park, river?
My parents live on a lake not too far from us, about 45 minutes north, and I just love going up there because it's not that far away, but in Georgia, you don't have to go far to feel like you're far away.
Right,
and it's kind of right in the foothills of the mountains and on a lake, and it's nice and clear water. When you jump in, you can see your toes, you know, not one of the murky ones, but kind of creeps you out. I'd say a good lake day.
Okay.
Yeah. I say locally, it would be Lake Allatoona. Is where I would go to get water because I like water. But I got to say, you know, I'm going to give them props because they don't usually get a lot of love. But because of my son, we got a season pass before the pandemic to Six Flags, and to go into an amusement park and I think Six Flags has its issues, but it also has a lot of potential. But we enjoy our time there while we're going because it's just fun to be in an amusement park with a little kid.
Excellent. All right. Is there anything else we haven't talked about about the podcast, or maybe any volunteer activities that you guys want to plug, organizations that you love that you think, you know, give people, you know, support this organization, anything like that that are particular near and dear to your hearts?
Definitely. I got to plug Ring the Bell Benefit, which is coming up.
There you go.
So our younger daughter is a cancer survivor. And so my husband and I started a fund called Reese's Magic Fund to support the Aflac Cancer and Blood Disorder Center at Children's Healthcare of Atlanta, and also the Magic Consortium, which is the team of doctors that help save her life. And so we did a big benefit in 2019, which was a huge success. Had to take a break during the pandemic, and it is back for 2021. So I would love for anybody to come out and support and be a part of it. It's September 22nd. It's on a Wednesday at Glover Park Brewery in Marietta. It's a laid back time. You know, this is not a ball where you have to wear a ball gown and get dressed up fancy, you know, this is not a black tie charity.
If you want to, you can. You'll be the only one.
You'll be the only one. But it's like, you know, wear your jeans and bring your family. Kids are welcome. And it's a night to honor current patient families, to raise funds for research. There's going to be an extensive fund, silent auction. Marietta's own Alex Guthrie, who was a finalist on The Voice recently, is going to be performing some live music. It's just a fun night. So that's my plug. And you can find out more at reesesfund.org, or the link to the ticketed event is choa.org/ringthebell.
Okay, great. Great. Excellent.
Very sophisticated.
Yeah, no, that's great. Was there anything else you'd like to add?
So I think that Georgia Transplant Foundation, have the honor of being honored by them. I'm a 19-year kidney transplant recipient. And so I and my doctor, who's since retired, but my doctor who saved my life, will be honored by the Georgia Transplant Foundation in March. So it's a little ways away, but I will be plugging that. So I'd love for people to buy tickets and come and support the Georgia Transplant Foundation in March when I get to put on a ball gown and be there and be honored. So I think it's GeorgiaTransplantFoundation.org is where you can find out more.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, thank you so much, both of you, for spending time with us today. This has been our Four Questions Journalist Spotlight. Join us every Sunday night-ish for
Well, and Mitch, and this is what Mitch is going to do when we get off air. Mitch is going to go to thefrenzy.com. So it's spelled friend with a Z-Y, frenzy.com. That's where you can find out about our podcast and sign up to be have us deliver the podcast straight to your inbox on Mondays, like Jen said earlier. So Mitch is going to do that. So why don't you do it too?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Good. I think I signed up. I can't remember.
That's all right. He's going to go to the frenzy.
I'm going to do that.
And then Mitch is also going to follow us on Instagram at The Frenzy and follow us on Facebook as well.
I'm going to do all that. I'm going to.
Yes,
okay. So,
yes.
So
let's see. Our YouTube page.
Yes. Well,
all right. So Frenzy, is it at The Frenzy on Instagram?
Yes.
Okay. And Facebook, same. It's easy to find on Facebook.
Yes. And then you can go to YouTube and search for The Frenzy. All of our videos from our podcast are there as well. Or just go to thefrenzy.com and you can find out all that information right here in one spot.
And I'm going to tag you when I do this, and we'll put all the tags on there too.
Absolutely.
Thanks. Excellent.
Great.
Excellent. Thanks. Thank you,
it's
ladies.
So fun.
And then, and as always, if anyone wants to check out our other resources, our Lefts Atlanta Media database, that's leftsatlantamedia.com, or our media matching service, Mitch's MediaMatch.com. Check out those URLs and you can get to those. Anyway, thanks everybody for joining us today.
Thank you, Mitch.
Thanks, Mitch.